So I have a question for you this morning. It's not a hard question, but it's a good question. And I like good questions, especially if they have an answer to them. Questions that don't have answers annoy me. But this question, there's an answer to. Now, can you name three people that have had a significant impact in your life? Now, how do I interpret silence? Was that a yes or a no?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yes. Now, for some people, it was hard. Some people, it might have been easy. It may have been harder to say yes or no out loud because we're supposed to be quiet, and yet here's this guy asking for a response. Well, if we took time this morning and you told everybody else your stories of three people who have impacted your life, we would be ready for supper and not coffee time after the service. So we're not going to do that. But I think we would be amazed at the stories that would be told. And I'm going to assume something, that I don't know whether we would hear stories about somebody that was sawn in two. No. How about put out huge fires? Maybe. How about killing lots of people? No. How about shutting the mouths of lions? No. Well, the writer of the Hebrews, did you listen to the stories? I mean, when he was thinking about people who impacted his life, now it could have been Paul writing this, it could have been Barnabas, it could have been Luke saying this, don't know, not sure. But the writer was thinking about all these people who had impacted their life. Well, seeing how I'm standing here and you're sitting listening, I'm going to tell you somebody who's impacted my life. His name was Dave. He was a godly man with about grade 5 education. He was a boys' club leader in the church that I attended as a boy. And he called me up one day and he said, "John, I need some help pouring a sidewalk. Will you come and help me?" And I said, "Dave, I've never done that before." And he looked at me, he called me in person. He looked at me with this puzzled look on his face and said, "What has that got to do with it?" And so I learned how to do a sidewalk. Now, that question has actually shaped me. When the automatic transmission went out in the car, and I found that if I put it in R, it didn't R. It did, but it didn't R. And we were poor, and we didn't have a lot of money. And I thought, how hard can it be? And so I took the transmission out, took out the bad pieces, put in other positions, other pieces, and put it back in the car. And what do you know? It R'd. And it did. It was terrific. What is it different? It didn't matter whether I hadn't done it before. I was a young minister. And I'd been at the church for 2 weeks. And it was my first time as being a full-time minister. And I got a call from a man who said, "My mom just died. Will you do the funeral?" And I said, "Yes." And I thought, I've barely been to a funeral, and now I have to lead a funeral. I remember Dave's words, just because you haven't done it before doesn't mean you can't do it. 20 minutes later, the service was finished. And I was told after the service by trusted people that it was a bit short. You see, in the community that we were in, they were used to two-hour services. And I said, "2 hours?" And they said, "You are a blessing to us to have a short funeral." By now, you've also recalled stories of people who have made an impression upon you. You know, those people who have taken a special interest along life's way, and we're different because those people have influenced us and said, come along with me to the prize. And that's how it is. That's the way God made things. Those who touch our lives change our lives. And I actually invite you to remember some of the stories in the Bible of how they have changed our lives. Now, this book of Hebrews is called the Faith in Action chapter. It's about faith and those whose lives have been captured, life, and they teach us how to live. And so, friends, we are called to respond to a different kind of a heroic adventure. But the heroes of faith were always called to run with endurance the race that is set before them. And so in preparing for a race, one has to lay aside every weight. We must throw off everything that would slow us down. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Blenda had cancer surgery, and just prior to surgery, the surgeon came and visited us early in the morning, and she was wearing a backpack that made her stature look very small. It was huge, and I was so convinced that when she went into the operating room for this 3.5-hour surgery, that she will have shed that backpack in the corner so that she wasn't standing over my wife operating with this big weight on her back. I'm convinced that she set it aside. And the results are obvious this morning. It's very difficult to run a race if you're carrying extra weight on your back, if you're burdened, if there's something pressing down on your shoulders. And so I'm convinced that the reference here is the weight of guilt that we have, the weight of sin that we think is still attached to us. This is a weight that's burdening us down. It's also the weight that we may be trying to purify ourselves, when the Lord has already done that for us. My friends, as we look to Jesus and place our faith in Him, the work of purifying ourselves to make us are acceptable before God is already done. It's already accomplished in Jesus Christ. We cannot run the race if we think we can be or we have to be our own Savior. And we cannot run the race carrying a weight that crushes us. We got to throw it off. And we have a right to throw it off because of our great high priest. And we just don't throw it off. We're also told to throw off the sin that clings so closely to us. Here, the picture is not that of a weight that is pressing down on us, but rather the problems that come during the race, the people that are standing in the way of us getting to the back of the church, the people or the things that stand in the way of our vision of the prize. My friends, we must know our weakness well enough. We have to avoid those pitfalls. You know, I have yet to meet an athlete who runs a race without tying their shoes. You see, I believe that they have learned from their own experience or the experience of others, that it pays to tie up all the loose ends. Well, there's one more thing this morning. In running this race, there's one thing that we have to do, and we have to do it well. The Bible says that we are to fix our eyes on Jesus. You see, he's the pioneer. He's the beginner. He's the perfecter of our faith. And the race that we live demands that our single focus for us needs attention. My friends, we are either focused on the Lord and all his calling, or we are double-minded. We either have this central desire in our lives to follow Jesus and his work on the cross and all the implications it has for us, or we can walk out the door and walk away. You see, we can't run the race looking in all different directions. Doesn't work. Either we serve God or everything else. Now, if you find yourself less filled with concern for the things of God, it may very well all be that you are already being distracted. So as we get ready to run the race, as we're doing our warm-ups that we need to do, remember, we have this great cloud of witnesses all around us, and they're cheering us on, and they're waving their banners, and they're saying, go for it, keep going, and we've got this cloud of witnesses. We have to throw off all the extra encumbrances, the things that we don't need any longer, and we're ready to run. Now, we've tied up our laces. We've made aware of all the pitfalls that stand in the way of our prize. We're aware of the entanglements, all the possibilities of tripping up that lay before us. And now we have fixed our eyes on Jesus. Now what do? We run like the wind, and we better get to it. Let's pray. Oh God, strengthen our skeleton, our muscles, our eyes to win the prize. Amen.